Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to see you guys. Hope you're doing well. And as John said, we're going to wrap up this First Peter series. And hope it's been a good series. Hope it's been an encouragement to you to hear different people as we've preached through this book. And so we're going to wrap it up, obviously, at the end of the book or the letter in First Peter chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10. And I want to pray for us, and we'll jump straight into the message. And so 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Remember, this letter is written to people who are scattered about. It's written to encourage them during trials and suffering and persecution for being Christians. The full persecution that will come upon them has not yet gotten there, but it's really has started happening, and Peter is really preparing them for these things and teaching them even what it's like to live a godly life when you're facing these things. And so he wraps it up with this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. He says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd arrives or appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." And then he goes on to say, "To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, right now, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, God, for its power. We thank you, God, that it is sustaining. We thank you that it is the bread of life. We thank you, God, that it is even medicine to our bones. God, we thank you for how it renews our mind and changes the way we see, changes our worldview, changes the way we think, changes the decisions we make. Lord, right now I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, this word would sink deeply into our souls, deeply into our hearts, deeply, Lord, into our very spirit. That, God, it would accomplish every purpose, as your word promises, that it would accomplish every purpose for which you have sent it today. Father, I pray that what comes out of my mouth would be a word in due season. I pray, God, that it would be a word that is not opinion, but is established through the authority of your word, Lord. So, God, would you guard my heart? Would you guard my tongue? Would you give me the words that the Spirit of God would say to his church today? We love you, Lord. We thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I don't know if you've noticed or not, but we kind of live in crazy times. A lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. And we look at that. And when we consider that, it's a time for us to be able to really grab hold of God. In a world that is really full of anxiety, that is full of uncertainty, that is full not just because of things that are going on that around the world or even in our own country, but things that are going on in our own lives, in our personal lives. When we look at that, it's a time for us to really be able to grab hold of God and to be able to hold on to Him. But there's so many distractions. There's so many things that want to pull us away from that. The reality of it is that we'll never drift towards a closer relationship with God, that we have to be persistent in our pursuit of Him. He has been persistent in His pursuit of us. We must be persistent in our pursuit of Him, to cling to Him, to hold to Him. And it gets challenging when so many things are going on around us. For many of us right now, we need to kind of take inventory of our lives, because there's so many things in our lives that we can't possibly do them. I was thinking yesterday about this. If we're going to the store, what do we oftentimes say? I'm going to run to the store. If we're going to pick up our kids, what do we say a lot of times? I'm going to go run get the kids. If we say we're going to the office, I got to run up to the office real quick. And you know, and you think about what that indicates. It indicates hurry. It indicates that we're kind of anxious and running all the time. And my encouragement today is that we could take inventory of our lives and begin to weed out those things that are not of really great importance, that are not mission critical for our lives. It's something that I've had to be praying through myself. And I feel like when we look at the book of 1 Peter, a lot of his instruction is just to keep things simple, just to hold to the Lord, just to remember the goodness of God in the midst of struggle, uncertainty, and in the face of adversity. And that's not always easy. That's one of those things that's easier said than done. And Peter begins this last portion of his letter, and it makes sense, really, that he would address the elders, the elder pastor leaders of the churches. And he tells them, he says, I appeal to you as a fellow elder, and he says this, and a witness of Christ's suffering. And this is important, because Peter was an eyewitness to the sufferings of Jesus. And he says, but also one who will share in the glory to be revealed. And in this, to the leaders of these churches, and ultimately to all of us, he's saying, listen, I saw the suffering of Jesus. I saw what he went through. I was in the garden when he was so anxious before going to the cross that he sweated drops of blood. I saw that. I saw that he was real. I saw the truth and the reality that he is a high priest who's able to understand and relate with our sufferings and our struggles. I saw this. I saw what he went through. And he says, but I also saw his glory. And if you hold on and you don't lose faith and you persevere, even in the midst of struggle and hardship and difficult things and uncertainty, he says that we too will share in the glory to be revealed. He tells them to be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing. When you think about the shepherd, what did the shepherd do? One of the things he did was he protected the flock with a rod, with a staff, whatever. He was faithful to protect the flock. He kept the flock together. And here's the main thing, though, that the shepherd did. The shepherd fed the sheep. And this is one of those things that we need to be clear on as a church, is that if we're going to stand firm in the face of adversity and struggle and challenge, then we've got to be fed. Now, here's two parts to this. One part is that there is a responsibility for those who are called to teach and to preach God's word to feed the sheep, right? That is a biblical responsibility. But sometimes as Christians, we lean so much on that that we forget the responsibility to feed ourselves. And something we need to realize is that it's our responsibility as well to get into the Word of God. If you are going to stand firm, and I'm going to stand firm in the world that we live in today, then I need to have my feet planted firmly in God's Word. And I need to be submitted to the teaching, to biblical teaching that I'm given by those who are called to teach. And the thing is, when you look at a shepherd, they were called to feed the sheep. They weren't called to abuse them. They weren't called to poison them. They were called to lead them to good pasture. And one of the most important things you can do and must do in your life is submit your life to those who were faithful to teach the Word of God. We have to be careful. We see these abuses. We see and hear that he tells them to do it, to watch and to be a good shepherd, to guard the flock. He tells them, watch over them, not because you must, but because you're willing. As God wants you to be, he says, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. We see so many times, and so many people have been turned off from Jesus because we've seen so many people who have called themselves apostles or prophets or pastors or teachers or whatever, who have done it and fallen into this trap of seeking dishonest gain. It's done for a position. It's done for a platform. It's done to elevate their status, even to gain money. We see these abuses, and he's telling us as leadership, don't do this for dishonest gain, but be eager to serve. Don't lord it over those entrusted to you, but be examples to the flock. And this is a great challenge for us. This is a great challenge where he tells us, do this with a pure heart. I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't really know how somebody becomes really prideful in ministry. Because what I have seen is that the Bible is true where it says pride goes before destruction. I've seen it all my life. When you begin to elevate yourself, you are propping yourself up for a fall. That's all you're doing. And for me in ministry, there are so many times that you are challenged and opposed by whether it's people, by whether it's just the enemy in general, that I can somewhat see. I can't fully understand what Paul meant when he said that the Lord gave him a thorn in his side to keep him from becoming exceedingly prideful because of these great revelations that he had. But it's like, I can understand that. And there has to be something in our heart that is really off for us to be able to have a clear vision of God, a clear vision of our calling, and to truly understand that, to go through the rigors of ministry. I was reading this week that 16,000 people, 16,000 pastors drop out of ministry every year. Part of that is because of unrealistic expectation. But I don't understand how people go through so much of that and can stand and beat their chest as if they are something. See, the key to humility is a greater, more clear view of God. The more clearly we see God, the less we can think of ourselves as something great. And he tells us to be examples to the flock. He tells us, in other words, to live out the life of Christ as we lead others. And he tells us, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And I wonder for myself and for others who are in ministry, who've been called to teach and to preach as elders, to feed the sheep. Why do we do it? Are we doing it for gain, to build our kingdom? Or are we doing it to receive one day the crown of glory that will never fade away? And that is something that we, in any form of leadership in the church, whether you're an elder, whether you are a connect group leader, in whatever form of leadership you take, that we should ask ourselves, what is my motivation? Is it for gain? Or is it to receive the crown of glory that will never fade away? We can have the glory now for a temporary season, or we can have this crown of glory given to us as we hear, well done, good and faithful servant, that lasts for eternity. He tells us, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. As we look at this now, he's encouraging all to humble yourselves. He tells those who are younger to humble yourselves. He tells all of us to clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. He says, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. That God, in other places, the word tells us that if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us, as we'll see further down where he talks about this, that God may lift you up in due time. He tells us to humble ourselves. But humility, again, cannot exist in our lives without a vision of someone bigger and greater than ourselves. Even the next thing that Peter says in this is, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. See, until we understand that there is someone bigger than ourselves who's in charge, until we understand more of who God's character is and more of who he is, we will find it impossible to cast our cares upon him. And we'll continue clutching onto these anxieties and these things in our lives that don't advance the life of God in us, but hinder it. Because we don't understand that there is one who cares for us. As it says here, this is the reason for casting our cares upon him, is because he cares for us. But if we don't understand this, if we don't understand the love of God that he has for us, it's impossible for us to cast our cares upon him. And we continue to clutch them, and it's a weight that is too heavy for us to bear. If I'm being completely honest with you, this is something that's really hard for me. Much of the joy in my life oftentimes gets robbed by anxiety about things that are beyond my control. Worry about tomorrow, and the word clearly tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough worries of its own. Worry about what's going to happen in a week, a month, a year, 2 years, 10 years. Worry about a doctor's appointment. Worry about this. Worry about that. Worry about things that haven't happened. Worry about silly things sometimes that don't even matter in the grand scheme of things. Sometimes I'm worried about something and I back up and I look at it and I go, why am I even worried about this? This is not something that is going to even matter in 30 days. But this is because for me, I'm much like you. It's hard to cast my cares, to cast these anxiety upon God. And I clutch them and I hold on to them, and it's too much of a weight to bear. And it oftentimes robs me of the life that God wants me to have. And it weighs you down. And it hinders your calling. It hinders life. And every single one of us, when we are trapped in this net of anxiety and worry, every single one of us will turn to some sort of exit or way out. For some of us, it may be drugs or alcohol. For some, it's pornography. For some, it may be an extramarital affair. For some of us, it's sleeping. For some of us, it's eating. For some, unfortunately, it gets to the point where you feel like you would be better off dead, just not having to deal with the struggles of life. But that is a lie from the pit of hell. And today, the encouragement here is that we can cast our cares upon the Lord. We can cast our cares upon God. We can cast our all. He doesn't say some, like the little things. He says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That word for cast, the kind of the focus of that would be like casting a net. It'd be like casting a net. You think about when you cast a net, it's got weight on it. And so basically what Peter is saying is cast off this net of anxiety. If you could picture yourself with this anxiety and being clothed almost in this anxiety, and Peter's telling us, like, take that thing off and cast it upon the Lord because it's too heavy for you and it's taking you under. But the reality is God cares for you, and if you can just cast that upon the Lord, even if you have to do it 100 times a day, cast it onto the Lord because he cares for you. It's not too heavy for him. It makes me think of when Jesus told those who are weary and heavy laden, he says, come to me. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just come to me. Trust me. But that's so hard to do. So hard to do, and it's something that we don't do one time. It's something that has to become part of our relationship with God. That God, today I'm giving this to you, and you might have to do the same thing in 10 minutes. But here's where we do this. We remember the goodness of God, and that no matter what tomorrow holds, no matter what happens next month, no matter what happens next year, the reality is that if I'm in Christ, I'm going to be okay. It's why Peter can say that I've seen the suffering of Jesus. I've witnessed it. He's even been through it and will go through it in worse ways. But he says, I know this, I will share in the glory that is to be revealed. Paul said it like this. He said, I know that these temporary afflictions do not compare to the weight of glory that's ahead of me. And he tells them, when the chief shepherd appears, the crown of glory that you receive will not fade away. He says, in the same way, submit yourselves. He talks about humility. Again, if we don't understand the character of God, the magnificence of God, it's one of the greatest things about worship is it magnifies the Lord. When we magnify something, it becomes more clear. So when we worship God and we begin to sing about who he is and we begin to give him glory and we get a clearer vision of him, then he is magnified. We see how big and beautiful and awesome he is, and all of a sudden we become smaller, and humility is not something that we just will within ourselves. It's something that happens when we see God in all of his glory. But it's an action that we take in light of who he is, and we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. that he may lift you up in due time. See, here's the thing that sometimes we forget. We forget how powerful, how sovereign, and how amazing God really is. We forget. There's a passage of scripture in Numbers. In the book of Numbers, chapter 11. And the Israelites, as they often did, they were whining because God was only feeding them manna. And they were like, we had meat in Egypt. We had meat. If we were still in Egypt, oh, we'd have meat. And you'd also be making bricks every day and be slaves. But we want meat, God. And Moses goes before him and he's like, look, I didn't conceive these people. He's like, God, what are you going to do? And God is actually angered. Have you ever been like that as a parent? You just feel like, how much more do I need to give? Are you going to be appreciative of this? I mean, like I get texts all the time. So we got my youngest son, we got him this Go Henry card. Y'all know what those are, these Go Henry cards? It's a card basically you can put money on. It's kind of like a debit card, but you can control because there's no way under heaven that I would actually give him my credit card or debit card. But you can control it. And I could go back, if I had my phone, I could go back to our text, and all the texts he sends me are like, I love you, Dad, I love you, Dad. Not really, that's a joke. But what they are is, hey, can you put money on my card? Can you put money on my car? And then I'm like, he gets home and I'm like, hey, go feed the dogs. We got some dogs at our house. I'm like, go feed them. He's like, ah. And I'm like, don't text me again and put money on your car. But it's easy for us to look at that and to think, well, yeah, I mean, they should be appreciative, but are we that way with God? Are we more like the Israelites, where we look at them and they're whining because God's only giving them bread miraculously, that they wake up every morning and their provision is there, but now they're whining about meat. They want meat to eat. And so God says, I'm going to give you so much meat to eat that you're going to get sick of meat. He literally says that you're going to have meat coming out of your nostrils. And Moses is like, God, where are you going to get this? Lord, where are you going to provide this? Are you going to bring these fish out of the sea? I mean, how's this going to happen? I've got 600,000 people here. How are we going to feed all of these people? And God makes this statement. He says, have you forgotten who I am? He basically says this. Do you think my arm is too short? And in scripture, the arm or the arm or hand of God represents his strength. And he tells them, do you think my arm is too short to provide for you? Do you think my arm is too short to save you? Do you think my power is limited in some way? And I look at this, and this is why we can cast our cares on him, because he cares for us, and he is powerful to do the things he has promised. I remember when my grandmother was passing away, we were in the hospital with her, and she was a strong believer. My granddaddy was a bivocational Baptist preacher. They were actually more Baptist-costal. I remember going there as a child, and I was just like, what is happening now? And I remember when she was passing away, and she was in the bed, and she didn't have much longer. And we were in there, and she was hurting, and all of a sudden, she just out of nowhere throws her right arm up in the air, and she says, God, extend your right arm, your powerful arm. And she just begins to pray and praise him from the bed. And she's talking about this right arm, this hand of God that is so powerful that even in that moment could sustain. But if we don't know God, we don't understand that. And as I've said in the beginning, with all of the distractions and challenges of the world, It's easy to forget that. But cast all your cares upon him. Don't let this net of anxiety take you down. But remember the God of all grace and humble yourself before him. That he may show you favor, that he may lift you up, that he may exalt you in due time. He tells us this, be alert and of sober mind. What he means is be aware. Don't be lulled to sleep. He says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The devil, he prowls around. He seeks someone that he can devour. See, he doesn't want to hinder you. He wants to destroy you. And he looks for any opening to do that. See, when you belong to him before you came to Christ, it's like you were a trophy of Satan. It was like he could hold you up before God and say, see what I have. But when you came to Christ and you were ripped out of his hands, you became a trophy of grace, redeemed by God. And Satan cannot stand it. And he looks now for any way that he can come and kill, steal, and destroy the life that God has given you. And so he says, be aware. He's like a roaring lion. He wants to destroy. He wants to devour. He wants to completely consume you. He says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. You are not alone. But he tells them this, stand firm in the faith. And he says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. In other words, God is not going anywhere. God has not forgotten you. God is going to take care of you. God is a foundation, and Christ is that cornerstone. Christ is the foundation upon which we can stand. If we will dig deeply into his word, and if we will dig deeply into the relationship with him, the Bible tells us that when the winds and rains and all the hell that Satan can send comes, that our house will stand. And if we're going to stand, listen, we've got to be deeply rooted in his word. See, God's word reveals God's character. God's word reveals who God is. God's word reveals who we are. God's word reveals who we are as the church. God's word reveals our purpose. God's word reveals the glory that awaits us and the promises that can sustain us. So if we're going to stand firm, we've got to be deeply rooted in his word. If we're going to stand firm, we've got to walk in the power and presence of his spirit. There's no substitute for that. To walk in the power and presence of his spirit. How do we do that? We draw near to the Lord. Jesus said it this way. He's like, look, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Lord give you the Holy Spirit if you ask? We press in that we might press on in the power of God's Spirit. We stay deeply rooted in his word. It's impossible to have the strength of a relationship with God if we are not deeply rooted in his word. And then we walk in the power and the presence of his Spirit as we live in an intimate relationship with God. This is how we stand firm. But for every one of us, listen, it's like I said before, we get distracted many times, we begin to drift. And for many of us today, it's a calling back to the focus on Christ. It's a calling back to a purpose greater than ourselves. It's a calling back to a realization of how big and incredible God is. It's a calling back to realize the goodness of God that, as we sing, pursues us. It's a calling back to realize that I can take off this trap, this net, this ensnarement of anxiety and worry and concern, and I can throw it and cast it upon Him because He cares for me. It's a reminder, a recalling back to standing firm in the Lord. So many of us have just given in to things that have come our way. We opened a door to the enemy and he came in, and now he's established a foothold in our lives. And yet today the Lord would tell you, if you would resist him, he will flee. My encouragement today is that you are not alone. That if you are in Christ, to continue to be strengthened in Him, because one day you too will receive this crown of glory that does not fade. You will receive life that is eternal. And as the end of the book of Revelation says, every tear will be wiped away, every concern, every worry, every doubt, everything that the enemy throws at us to try and to devour us, to try and kill and steal and destroy our lives, will no longer be there. But we will be with our God in perfect fellowship once and for all, never, ever being separated, even as we are today. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said nothing can separate us from the love of God. I want us just to take a moment and spend some time in prayer. And when we stand as we close out today in prayer, Father, I thank you this morning for who you are. I thank you, God, for loving us. God, I pray for a greater vision of you. I pray for a greater visitation from you, Lord, a greater visitation of your presence. We know, God, that you are here. We know, God, that when we join together, that, God, you are present. We know that you live and reside in each one of us who are called according to your name, who said yes to your offer of salvation. God, so right now I pray in Jesus' name that you would begin to stir your spirit within inside of us, something supernatural that we cannot do. God, that this would not be a gathering of things that are possible within our own strength. But right now, God, I pray for those who are anxious, for those who are in a place where they feel entrapped, maybe even by sin. God, I pray that today, that net, Lord, through the power of your grace would be removed. I want us to take a minute and pray for those. If today you're in a place where you feel trapped in anxiety, you feel trapped maybe in some sort of a behavior that is robbing you of life, I want to ask you to come forward and let us pray for you. I want to ask you not to be worried or concerned about people who may think this or think that. I can admit this myself, that I need prayer for that. I need prayer to be able to see God more clearly. I need prayer to be able to walk in the freedom of Jesus. I need to be more consistent in coming to a place where when I'm weary, I come and lay it before the Lord and I take his yoke upon me. And today we have this great opportunity that God has given us to remove the yoke of slavery and bondage and to take upon us his yoke. And I believe in the supernatural power of the living God. I believe in his presence. I believe that he is here. I believe that he wants to move in your life. I don't believe that the Bible is just a fable, but I believe the same God that healed the man through Peter at the gate called Beautiful, I believe that he is the same God who works amongst us today. I believe that he is a healer. I believe that today, with any ailment in your body, I believe that God can heal. It's not our job to cause the healing. It's our job to be obedient, to pray for the sick, and to pray in faith. And so today we're going to do that. We're not going to be a church that just sits around on our hands and just talks about God and talk about this God that used to do this, used to do that. He is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God who still heals. He is the God who still sustains. He is the God who still provides. He is the God who still hears the cries of his children. And today is the day for you. Maybe it's the day today of deliverance. Listen, maybe it's the first step towards freedom. I don't know what it is for you, but I know this, that God wants to meet you where you are. And if you will humble yourself before the Lord, he will lift you up. But sometimes it takes us swallowing our pride. Sometimes it takes us coming to a place where we are at the end of ourselves. Sometimes the only thing we can cry out is, help me, God. I am a sinner. Help me, God, because I am broken. Help me, God, because I can't do this on my own. Lord, would you move in the hearts of people today? Would you begin, Lord, through the grace and the power of your Spirit, to give ability to cast off that net that is weighing them down? God, would you, even through the power and the strength of your right arm, your right hand, would you begin to pull that off of them? I thank you, God, for that. I pray, God, right now for the marriage that right now is in trouble. I pray, God, right now for the marriage. I pray for the husband right now who is so prideful, he can't say, I'm sorry. I pray that in his heart, I pray that in his mind, God, there would be a conviction from the Holy Spirit that would begin to move him back towards his bride, to begin to move him back towards the one that you have given him to cherish and to love as Christ loves his church. So, Lord, would you work in that way? I pray for the wife, Lord, who has become so hard-hearted towards her husband, who looks at him with disdain. God, would you begin to break that heart of stone? Would you begin to move in a way that only you can move? Would you soften her heart? Would you begin to join them together in a supernatural way? We know that as they stood at that altar, that God, you did something in them. You became the third cord that held them together. God, even some of them quoted that in their service. And Lord, I pray right now that you would begin to draw them back together, that you would begin to help them realize that this thing is not over. I pray for that, God, right now, that you would move in a mighty way. I pray, Lord God, I pray for the one right now, Lord. It just is in my heart, it's in my mind, who's struggling with depression, who's struggling. Lord, we know that mental health is a real thing. I pray for hope. I pray that, God, they would take off this despair, and God, that they would put on a garment of praise. So, Lord, would you work in them? Would you move in them? Would you do something only you can do in them? God, we want a greater visitation of your presence and your Spirit. So have your way here today. Have your way here today. God, I pray that in our hearts, Lord, if we are stiff-necked, if we are rebellious people, Lord, in your eyes, Lord, would you rebuke us? Would you move us towards being a people with soft hearts that are obedient to you? God, we worship you, we love you, we praise you, we give you all the honor, we glorify you in this place, we humble ourselves, Lord, we look forward to the glory that is before us, God, even in these times where we may go through suffering and difficulty and challenge. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that we have a promise that is greater than us. That is greater than us, that is greater than our ability. We love you, God. We worship you. We praise you. I thank you, God, for the healing, the deliverance that's taking place in this room. It's taking place right now. If you're comfortable with this, if you're willing to do this, maybe even if you're not, why don't we lift our hands to the Lord? Let's just praise him one more time before we go. Father, we thank you. We worship you and we give you all the glory, honor. We give you all the praise that you deserve. God, would you, Lord, through your great patience, through your great love for us, would you continue to work in our hearts? God, who are we that you would even be mindful of us? And yet you are, Lord. So God, do something in us that only you can do, and do through your church what you declared long ago. Lord, fill the earth with the knowledge of your glory. We love you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.